The name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, you may notice I am not Father Doug. He had every intention of preaching this morning, but wasn't feeling well this morning, and came to the first service and wasn't able to preach there, and then decided he really needed to go home and go back to bed. So that's one of the great things about being the rector is you're always the default everything. So it has fallen to me to speak this morning. And so I'd like to speak a bit about what it means to be an ambassador. About 5 years ago, there was a guy named George Sunes who was appointed to be the U.S. ambassador to Norway. And during his confirmation hearing, it was revealed that Mr. Sunes had never actually been to Norway. He didn't really even have much knowledge of the country itself or how its government worked. Now, this concerned many people across the political spectrum because the job of being an ambassador is actually a very important job. So what is it that ambassadors do? What is their purpose? Today, they tend to represent countries, but in the old days, an ambassador represented the king himself. And so in the days before email and text messages and instant communication, it was the job of an ambassador to stand in for the king in foreign countries. And often they would have to carry the full authority of the king with them and make decisions on the king's behalf. And so this was a very serious responsibility, and kings took great care in choosing the right person for the job. In our reading this morning from 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. But our message that we have to proclaim is not a political message, but rather it is the message of the gospel of reconciliation. So as Christians, we represent God. We represent the gospel message to the world around us. It's our job to show people not only who God is, but to tell them what he has done for us. Now, unfortunately, we don't always do a very good job of this. Like Mr. Sunes, at times it may seem like we are unprepared to carry out the duties of our charge. We are, after all, imperfect people, serving in an imperfect church, and yet trying to represent to the world a perfect God. But just because we are imperfect doesn't mean that we can't still be effective ambassadors for Christ. And this morning's lessons really give us some great insight into what it takes to do this very important job. Now, since an ambassador represents a king, it's important for him to actually know the king's nature. The ambassador needs to know how the king thinks, what's important to him, how he behaves, how he makes decisions. Because an ambassador is not called to make his own decisions, but rather he's called to make the king's decisions on his behalf. And so an ambassador needs to know what it is that a king wants. Now, if we're to represent God to the world, we need to make sure that we're carrying out his will rather than simply our own will. And to do this successfully, we need to make sure that we know our king intimately. And the best way to do this is by listening to him. There's this scene in a movie where Bette Midler is talking about herself, and she's going on and on and on, and she finally stops, and she says, "Well, enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me?" And that's funny. But I think sometimes we take that same attitude when we address God. When we come to Him in prayer, it's with a list of demands and wants and requirements and us telling God how we think He ought to do His job. We don't take time to sit and listen and discover what it is that God actually wants from us. In our Old Testament lesson today, Job and his friends do a lot of talking. They do about 34 chapters worth of talking. Now, Job has suffered greatly, and everyone, including Job, is trying to figure out why he has suffered. And then finally in chapter 38, everyone is done talking, and it's God's turn to have His say. And He essentially tells Job, "Who are you to question me?" Now, if you read the rest of the story of Job, you discover that it's only after Job stops talking and starts listening to God that things start to improve in his own life. And it's not because he told God what he wanted or what he required of God, but that he finally decided to listen and find out what God required of him. If we are to be God's ambassadors, we need to do less talking and more listening to what God's will is. And only then will we know what He wants from us. And the best way to listen to God is to employ what I call the three S's. The first S is silence. Silence makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? I was ready for someone to break into a song just then when I stopped and just left room for silence. In our ever-busy world, it seems that we have less and less of this very valuable commodity. But I would encourage you to look for places in your life to experience silence. Try turning the radio off in your car when you're driving to work. Or maybe leave the headphones at home when you go to the gym to exercise. Or turn off the TV set when you're eating dinner. Don't be afraid of silence, but instead use it as an opportunity to listen to what God might have to say to you. The second S is Scripture. Scripture is quite literally God's word to us. And we should be spending time reading it every day. I feel like I say that a lot, but I will continue to say it a lot until everyone does it. We need to spend time in Scripture every single day because that is how God speaks to us. And you can use the daily office lectionary. You can do a guided Bible reading program. You can even just sit down and read it. But the most important thing is not so much how we do it, but rather that we do it. And the third S is study. We should always be testing our own understanding of God's Word against other smart and reliable Christian thinkers. Whether it's the church fathers from 1,000 years ago, or more modern theologians like N.T. Wright or R.C. Sproul, or even people in our local community like Father Nathaniel or Eric Henningfeld, there's a wealth of knowledge of how to read and understand the Scripture, and it's important for us to know how others understand what God is saying. Because we actually don't discern God's will all by ourselves in isolation. We do it within the context of a worshiping, believing Christian community. Well, besides listening to the king, a good ambassador must also trust his sovereign. He cannot be constantly second-guessing the king's decisions or his authority to do as he has said. In today's gospel story, the disciples are having a hard time trusting Jesus. They can't believe that he doesn't care enough about them to even wake up during this raging storm. And when they finally wake him up, he calms the storm And then he asks the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" If we are to be Christ's ambassadors, we must exude faith and trust in his promises. We say that we are saved by grace through faith, but do we trust that God will actually make good on that promise? Or do we try and help him out? Do we try and hedge our bets? When Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Do we live as though this is true in our own lives? If we're going to represent the King of the universe, we need to trust that he will do what he says. Now, our final lesson can be taken from the demoniac in our gospel lesson. After he's healed by Jesus, he doesn't simply go home and remain quiet about what has happened. Instead, he goes throughout the region proclaiming Jesus' name. One of the defining characteristics of an ambassador is that it is a person who is sent out. When the president appoints an ambassador to France, that person doesn't stay in Washington, D.C. and do their work remotely. They actually pack up all their stuff and they move to France and they live there and they represent the president in that country. If they stay home, if they're not sent out, then it sort of defeats the whole purpose of being an ambassador. And in the same way, we can't be ambassadors for Christ if we refuse to take his message out to the rest of the world. God did not call us to hide out and keep to ourselves. He does not tell us to be silent. Now, these days, there are a lot of really poor Christian ambassadors in the world. From the people of Westboro Baptist Church to the Duggars, popular media has a very skewed version of what it means to be a Christian. And we ought not to sit idly by and just allow this to happen. Now, we may never have our own reality TV shows, but we can demonstrate to those around us not only what Christians are like, but what God himself is like. We need to be living, breathing, walking gospel messages. The point of the church, the point of what we do here, is not so that we all have a place to come and be a Christian for 1 hour a week and then go out into the rest of our lives and leave that behind. The whole point of this place is to train us up and prepare us to be Christians in those other 167 hours of the week. Back in 1986, the Beef Industry Council hired an actress named Sybil Shepherd as their spokesperson for a new ad campaign. And within weeks of the campaign starting in January of 1987, Shepherd publicly admitted that she really does try to stay away from red meat. Needless to say, she wasn't the spokesperson for the beef industry much longer, because she wasn't a good ambassador. She wasn't a good representative of what they wanted. But this does not need to be our fate as Christians, because we can be ambassadors for Christ. We are called to do it. But in order to do it, we need to make sure that we are listening to God, that we are trusting his promises, and that we are then going out and spreading that news to the world. We have all been duly appointed as ambassadors by virtue of our baptism. But unlike George Sunis, we will be sure to take our job seriously, because it is, after all, a matter of life and death. Amen.